Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. It is with extreme pleasure that I would like to introduce you all to David Blue. David, good evening.
Good evening. That just seems like the longest theme song in the world when you're listening to it, doesn't it? It takes forever.
Well, that is correct. That is exactly right. But it just cues everyone to say, okay, wake up. We're on the air now. So.
That was crazy. I made a sandwich. I went for a run, and I came back, and the song was still going on.
Oh, my goodness. Now, David, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me this evening.
Oh, you're most welcome. We have a web chat running with this at the same time. And okay. My goodness, everyone's going, hi, David. Evening, David. How you doing? So everyone is piling into the chat room as we speak right now. So this
I feel
is
so
great.
Popular.
Well, you bring up a good point. What I was going to say to you is that I don't think that you probably fully comprehend the level of excitement and buzz that your impending presence tonight has created. So
through my MySpace emails and comments alone, I started to get an idea.
All positive, we hope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for so generously agreeing to join us. What I did want to ask you before we start taking calls, because I know your time is limited tonight, is when did you realize that so many fans have such a soft spot for Logan?
You know, it took a little bit. You know, the first episode that I did was such a brief appearance. It was almost very like CSI-like, and I just kind of came on to track. That was when Josh. Is it okay to talk about plot points? I don't want to ruin anything. It's like somewhere it hasn't caught up yet.
Please go ahead. Anyone who hasn't seen the whole thing, close your ears right now, please. And in the web chat, we'll tell you when to open them again.
Okay, spoiler alert. when, you know, the episode where they got rid of Josh, like, it was such a quick appearance that I just figured no one would hear anything. And then my second episode, the first Guitar Hero one, I actually noticed on YouTube that most of the comments were, they had the clip of me playing Guitar Hero, and then all of a sudden it would say, wow, that would be really cool if Alex played. And, like, no one even mentioned my character. And I really thought that it was just going to be kind of a sideline character. I would even really realized anything about it. It wasn't until the last couple that people started responding and saying great things about and saying stuff to me about. So, I mean, it was a surprise. I was glad, but it was a surprise.
Wow. Well, we are really happy that you got to play him. I do want to go to one comment that VA Susie Q18 on MoonlightLine.com asked a question and a comment. First, she said that you stole every scene that you were in, and she's curious to know if the character was already clearly defined or if you brought some humor to the role. She says, I also found Logan to be a bit innocent, probably never leaving his basement. So the other question she had was, did you ever wonder how your character was turned?
Well, first of all, I'll just say a thank you to everyone who asked questions, because now that you just read who posted that question, I realize I'm never going to be able to repeat the names of everyone that you say and say, oh, thanks very much.
D-E-E-C-L-5.
Wow, I threw myself off topic just by making a joke.
Okay, so did you have much of a say in your character's development?
Well, in so much as what I brought to the table when we went to the table reads or to the actual shooting, yes, for the most part, the character was really fleshed out by the writers and the producers. Mm-hmm. As it started, Logan was just, I was actually technically only hired for one episode, possibly quote-unquote more.
Right.
So I don't think anyone really realized what would happen. You know, they've had so many other, I'll use the phrase, tech geeks in the past on the show, which I didn't, you know, at my fitting, they were like, Dave, do you realize you're like the third incarnation of this? So let's hope that you stay around. So I honestly expected myself to be like a single-serving tech guy and then not come back. And then the role just kind of started growing. And then once I had a scene with Alex, like, face-to-face, we had a good banter and we had a lot of fun. So I think that helped it grow. And you know, once I actually got to meet Sophia, same thing. And, you know, everyone on the set and the cast was so nice welcoming me into the family that I think it just started feeling like home. And the next thing you know, by the season finale, you know, I'm around for quite a bit. And I thought might actually be around for longer, but, you know, not really my decision.
Well, we're so glad that you got to stick around. Now, I actually have 6 callers on hold already, so I'm being a good time is short tonight. We're going to go straight into questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, if you have anything you want to say or any questions like that, throw it out. Like, you know, my time's short, but it's not, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to hang up on you, so we'll see what happens.
We appreciate that. Okay. 610, you're on the air. 610? Okay. Occasionally we have some that are a little shy. They just want to sit in and listen because they don't have access to the net. So let's go to 718. 718, you're on the air? Oh.
A lot of shy people.
Okay. This is fine. We will go ahead and move to, I hope some of these guys have questions. I have buckets of them, so 724. 724, you're on the air?
I am here. Thank you. I'm one of those who doesn't have internet. Yeah, I have a question.
This is Rowena, right?
Right, or Barbara.
How you doing?
I had a wretched travel day, so I've been up since 2 a.m. But what can we say? Okay, yeah. Setting that aside, my question is, in Fated to Pretend, when Mick and Beth bring the encrypted file to you, okay, and you know, you're reading it, and there's the Donut Queen, you know, all of these cases that Maureen was working on, there's the Donut Queen, and then there's the mayor, and Joseph, and you find out that Mick knows Joseph, and you say, why haven't you ever introduced me? He's the richest vampire in town. And Mick says, well, you know, you never leave your basement. And you say, and I'm wondering, this is where my question comes in, you say, well, you know, why should I leave when the milkman delivers right to your door? Okay, so tell me, how are you getting your blood? I'm assuming the milkman means that you're getting, somebody is delivering. I was wondering about that because that's a little different from, you know, Mick gets his from Guillermo at the morgue, and then we know what Joseph does. So I was wondering about that line.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of the way that I think everyone just kind of thought about it. Thank you for the question, by the way. But the way that everybody thought about it was just that, like, he does jobs for people. He's kind of a for-hire hacker, tech geek. And people like Alex probably most likely, in my mind anyway, would send him the blood or drop off the blood. I don't think a lot of people actually were allowed down into Logan's basement except for maybe Alex, or even wanted to go into Logan's basement except for Alex. So I think for the most part it was either delivered or dropped off in exchange for services.
Okay.
Much like a lot of the fans.
Way to put it, delightful rather way.
Oh yeah, no, again, a lot of this, you know, if it wasn't written down and given to me from the writers, I just kind of made up my own backstory until they give me a script that had changed, and I was like, oh, never mind,
okay.
I guess I was wrong.
Ad lib kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always wondered if he actually was friends with Guillermo or anyone else, but we never really got the chance to explore it, unfortunately. So, I mean, you know, I don't even know.
Except
I'll
right at
that,
the end of last episode, you were all together there planning. Yeah,
exactly, and it was
family.
Kind of implied that I knew some of the other ones, but, you know, I might have, maybe I knew Guillermo, maybe I knew, you know, some other people. But, you know, and actually I was kind of a little bit sad about that in the final episode, that I didn't really have a chance to really stand in awe of Joseph at all, you know, because we were so busy with the plot, we just had to jump right into it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you did great in Sonata. You really saved the day there. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you
a
very
lot
much.
Of fun. Okay. I don't want to take up too much time. I know others have questions, but thank you, RJ, for letting me. I don't know how long I can hang on because I'm.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sort of
just hang up when you're done. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can
thank
go ahead.
Thank you so much.
Okay?
I appreciate it, David. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for coming on,
and it's been delightiful. Okay.
Thanks for listening, Barbara.
You're most welcome.
Actually, that brings me to a question. I wanted to know about that basement. I was just saying the other day, I'm like, was that his house and he just preferred the basement? Was he renting it from someone else? Did they know it was, you know, just so many questions. So was the house his or was he renting the basement?
You know, Alex and I used to always joke saying that I lived in my mother's basement. But the truth is that in my mind, I always felt that Logan was actually older than he seems, that he actually had been around for a while.
Right, that was my other question, because I was thinking, if it was his parents' basement, then he's obviously quite young.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we never got around to specifying it. And I was kind of hoping that in season two, you know, knock on wood, they would do something about that. And
right.
So in my mind, he was actually older than that. He was just a vampire who, when technology came around, he was just so excited by it that he needed to have it and learn everything. And he was so antisocial that it just kind of became his best friend. I felt that if anything, you know, the house upstairs was just abandoned or owned by him. I can't imagine Logan with a roommate who would live. I'm sure the roommate would either move out or get eaten.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Yeah, it was funny to see the expression on your face when Mick brought company, as in Beth.
Mm-hmm.
How much contact has he had with the ladies?
You know, I think that he had a little bit, but the way that I approach it is that the little he's had, he thinks he is a Mac. He thinks he is the man. But he doesn't realize that as soon as a woman meets him, they run for the door. So that's just kind of how, you know, I mean, I think he kind of relayed that with the cleaners when they walked in and he said, hello, ladies. You know, kind of like he thinks he's the man. He thinks he has everything he needs. He actually probably would think that he's hotter and cooler than Mick. But the truth is that people just don't even want to be near him.
Aww. Well, from what I can gather, there are a lot of ladies on the boards who would be offering dates to Logan.
Woohoo!
Okay, let's bring another caller on. 937, you're on the air?
Yes, this is Bunches of Fun, also known as Joyce.
How everyone has so many names.
Yeah, we're incognito. First of all, just wanted to say thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
I've been watching you on Ugly Betty and Moonlight and your Subway commercial, which is clever.
Oh.
My question was, I wanted to know what your reaction was the first time you learned that Logan was going to save the day in the last episode.
Oh, you have no idea how excited I was. It was a running gag amongst all of my friends and Alex and myself that, you know, we'd go for 7 seasons and I would never leave my basement because I was actually talking to, oh my God, why am I forgetting her name? That is absolutely horrible. I was talking to another character on another show who always has all of her scenes in the same place. And we just kind of had this camaraderie about how we never are allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sat down to the table read for the season finale, I was so excited. You have no idea. And there was actually a little bit more that happened that ended up getting cut from that final episode that had me stoked for days. For probably a week, I was very, very excited and trying to keep my lips shut because I didn't want anyone to know what was going to happen. But, it made my week. It absolutely made my week.
Can you tell us some of those things that they cut?
Well, it wasn't any huge plot points. For me, it was exciting. Just, you know, I originally, there was just a bit more about me being a vampire, you know, being able to have abilities and stuff like that. That just, I think because of time and because of stunts and all that, we just weren't able to do. And, you know, I think they kind of changed their mind, too. They kind of liked the way it was described in the script, if I may be so bold as to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right before Logan goes running to stop the van, in the stage directions it says, Logan takes off running as somebody would whose only exercise comes from Guitar Hero. That kind of brought me back to my depression again.
Aww. Oh. You don't know how many people love you.
Aww.
Really? You should see all the little things that people draw and write about you.
You know, that's actually, I always get kind of taken aback by that. I guess I'm just never going to get used to it, no matter how much work I do. I saw somebody made, this makes me sound like I just troll the internet all day, which I don't, I promise. But I saw somebody made a, what do you call it, a signature for their message boards with Logan on it, and it just blew my mind that anyone would do that.
Oh, there's lots of those.
I think that's really cool.
There are even threads for you and for Logan on the different boards.
That's so great. It's cool. I love it. This isn't an invitation to email me all of them, although I would appreciate it. No thanks. But, no, I think it's really cool that people connect to the show, let alone the character. You know, anything that I can contribute to that is amazing.
We appreciate...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say we appreciate your calling.
Oh, no. I'm happy to be here. It's nice to be able to... You know, because I talk to people every once in a while when I get to tie them on my... my official MySpace, but it's nice to actually be able to talk to people, you know?
I was just going to ask if I could ask another question.
Just quickly.
Okay. I was just curious, did you see the YouTube video that somebody did about Logan?
Yes, and I thought it was hilarious.
I thought
it was absolutely hilarious.
Okay. Well, thank you again for taking my call.
No, thanks.
Like
thanks for asking questions.
Okay, I'd like to stay on the line, please.
Okay, thanks so much for listening.
Yes.
All right, let's go to, let's see, 203, just a moment here.
All right.
Bear with me. Technical hitches. 203, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. This is Moonlight Vampire.
Hello.
Okay. My question for David is, we've seen you as Logan playing Guitar Hero on Moonlight. Do you play Guitar Hero in real life?
Yes, actually. And you know what's really funny is, you know, there was a strike looming right around when I originally booked the role of Logan. I have an Xbox. I'm a dork. I'm a huge dork. It's not as much acting as you would think. I have an Xbox. I have a PlayStation, a Super Nintendo, an original Nintendo. It's sad. And right before that second episode, I had just bought an Xbox 360 because I wanted to have something to do during the strike in case it lasted a while, and the only game that I bought was Guitar Hero, and I had been playing it for a few, because on Ugly Betty, I don't know if, I think a lot of people know this, America Ferrara, Chris Gorham, and a lot of people between shots like to play Guitar Hero in one of the trailers, so I just kind of wanted to practice for the next time I go to Ugly Betty. And then I open the script, and then the next thing you know, Logan's playing Guitar Hero. And actually, in a similar twist, about a month later, I got Rock Band for my birthday. And then the next episode, there you go, Logan's playing Rock Band.
Okay, we've got 12 callers on hold, so I'm going to have to start limiting the questions to one per caller, please. And I have an international caller next, so...
Oof.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Australia is calling.
Wow. Oh, wow. Home of many people.
Hello.
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 No, between you and RJ and Alex and Claudia, I feel like I should just move to Australia because I'm just surrounded by so many people with that accent.
You should, definitely.
Okay, did you have a question? Is this MJ?
Yes, it is MJ. I just wanted to know how David felt about the international response to Moonlight especially.
You know, I haven't actually experienced too much of that. You know, I don't really keep in I don't really find out when the foreigners are going to be, so I don't really know how caught up everybody is. Though... I had to go to Mexico for a friend's wedding, and I was getting ready for the wedding, and flipping through the channels, out of nowhere, there was an episode of Moonlight dubbed in Spanish, and I was kind of caught me off guard. I think that was the first time I even realized that people outside the U.S. were even watching.
Wow.
Really? Oh, you've got a big audience internationally. I mean, the Australians, we've just started a message board, and we're having Red Cross blood drives, hopefully, so... Yeah,
I heard, and I heard Alex is very supportive. I heard Alex is being really supportive of that as well, so.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for giving us the chance to talk to you, and you definitely should come to Australia.
I'd love to. I've never been. I would absolutely love to.
Okay.
Thanks so
thank
much,
you,
RJ.
RJ.
You have a good afternoon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we did have an international caller on the line, and I think she was calling either from Brazil or Chile, but she has disappeared, so we will keep moving through the calls. International caller, if you call back, I will get you on ASAP. All right, let's take a look here who we've got coming up next. Let's
How do you do all this? It's crazy.
937, you're on the air.
No, I was already on the air. I'm just calling to listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, let me. You just said, how do I do all this? There you go. I don't do it well. That's how we do all this. I need to, like, employ someone to come and help me with this, right? Okay.
Oh, you're doing a good job yourself. You're doing just fine.
Ah, oh, thank you. All right. Let's try 850.
That's me. That's Kingle.
Hey, Kingle.
Hey. Hey, David, thank you. Appreciate you coming on here. First off, I just want to say that because of you, my 19-year-old son now does not think I'm a total idiot because I could say War of Warcraft, I could say Leroy Jenkins, and he goes, Mom, do you even know what you're saying? And I looked it up on Google, but hey, you know, you really helped me out there, so I appreciate that. But I'm living in Florida, your sort of adopted mm-hmm. home at one time and all, and I understand you went to UCF and graduated from there.
Yes, I did.
You did. Okay, and it was in theater and with a specialty in, like, musicals and all, and I was just curious, how did you get into the musical aspect, what your favorite musical really is, and do you have aspirations to doing this? I mean, I could see you in a whole bunch of different musical roles, so I was just curious.
Well, yes, actually, you know, my entire life I've been doing theater. And musical theater, and when I came to college, I did both for the most part, but my main concentration was musical theater, and I did it for an extra couple of years after college, and then decided to move to L.A. when I realized that I had a whole bunch of theater credits and really not much TV and film. I kind of honestly at the time thought I was leaving musical theater behind, but actually recently I've been doing a bit. I did a workshop production at the Mark Taper Forum out here in L.A. Actually, just a week and a half ago, I did a reading. I think I might have posted a blog about it on MySpace. With
Michael
Eden Espinoza and all them. So, you know, it's still calling me back, apparently, but I think I'm going to be sticking with TV and film for a little while. I would love to do theater in my breaks, you know, when things are on hiatus or when you're dealing with one of a million strikes, apparently. But yeah, as far as favorite, that's so rough. I don't even know. I love Avenue Q. I love Rent. I love Wicked. But I'm a little bit biased because I'm friends with Eden.
Good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just too many. Now that's to see, not to sing. To sing would be a whole different story. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Kingle.
Well, thank you very much, David.
I appreciate you
talking to us. Bye.
No, thanks for having me. Bye.
International caller, you're on the air.
Oh, are you back?
Hello?
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 Who's this?
This is Arieta from Chile, again, also known as Odie.
Oh. How are you?
Hi, David. I just wanted to tell you, you're a sweetheart for doing this with the fans, talking to us. Secondly,
that's an honor.
Love you here at Chile. You should know that.
And
I wanted to ask you, whose idea was the Lando Calrissian line? I love Star Wars, by the way.
I think everyone of quality loves Star Wars, or at least at least episodes 4, 5, and 6. You know, actually, that was in the script from day one. Both Lando Calrissian and Leroy Jenkins were in the script the first day. You know, there's a lot of changes that happen before you actually shoot, and they were there from the first moment, and they never left. So you got to thank the writers for that, who are as big dorks as the rest of us.
Okay, that was a great idea. I loved it. Absolutely.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I bet.
Thank you so much for calling, Arieta. You have a good, early morning, I guess.
No, it's the same time here.
Oh, you're on the same time zone?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Ah,
yeah.
Oh, wow. See,
okay,
now you're
so
talking about moonlight and learning geography.
Yeah, that's right. It was nice to talk to you, David.
Thank you, and you too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, wasn't that nice of her to call in?
It's amazing.
Okay. 562, you're on the air.
Hi, Dave. This is Lisa. I run the MoonlightLine.com site. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Yeah, I've PM'd you a couple of times. Anyways, I was told yesterday by a source that Moonlight is not dead and that they're still continuing to try to shop it around.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering how you were feeling about that. You want to come back and do Logan again and hide in your basement and play Guitar Hero and all that?
Oh, I'd absolutely love to. You know, it's kind of funny. People, you know, I think people got the hint eventually, but when the show first stopped, people emailed me all the time, like, do you know what's happening with the show? And it's, it mm-hmm. makes me feel like I'm more important than I am, because the truth is I find out right around the same time you guys do. And actually, when all these negotiations are going on and I'm not directly talking to producers or writers, mm-hmm. I tend to find out from you guys. Just getting picked up. So yeah, I'd absolutely love to come back. You know, if it's a possibility, or whatever, in whatever incarnation, it'd be a blast. Every time I talk to Alex about it, you know, we both just loved the roles
yeah.
so much. I don't think it's something you want to leave behind.
Yeah, we're working really hard to try, and we ended up picking DirecTV on Silver Productions, and we're working on trying to get them to help pick up part of the bill, and then hopefully make it a more attractive. Item for another network. So we're doing everything we can to keep you guys gainfully employed or whatever passes for it.
Well, on behalf of everyone in the cast, thank you. You guys are amazing. I would never expect fans of a show to go so far as you guys have, and it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
And I hate to ask real quick, did you end up with any of those Starbucks coffee cards that Moonlight Line got you guys? We ended up taking you guys like $3,000 in Starbucks coffee cards.
Did I end
up what?
For the
last four episodes. Hopefully they handed you some of those Starbucks coffee cards that we handed that the Moonlight Line folks gathered money for. You didn't get any?
You know, actually, no, I didn't. I hope I didn't get anyone in trouble by saying that, but no. But
yeah,
I appreciate the thought.
I'll say it's on the production staff. Sure.
No,
it's
fine, but I appreciate it.
Okay, well, let somebody else ask a question at this point. And then you wanted me to hang around, RJ?
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, sure. Bye. I'll hang around.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, let's try 919. 919,
hey,
you're on
919.
The air?
I think that's me.
That would be.
Hey, this is Tammy. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Hi, Tammy from North Carolina.
Hey, David. Thanks so much for giving us your time tonight.
Thank you for wanting my time.
Well, sure. Well, I wanted to ask you, first of all, are you aware that there's going to be yet another Moonlight Convention here in North Carolina?
No, I was not aware. I tend not to, like I said, for as far as conventions and even anything is concerned, the only time I really hear about it is from the Moonlight fan websites, like Moonlight Line and all those.
Okay. Well, there is going to be another convention, and it's early September. I believe it's Labor Day weekend. And it's going to be in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina is most wonderful. There is some information on Moonlight Line, but I just sent you a friend request on MySpace, so if you'll go ahead and get me, I will be more than happy to send you the information on that. My screen name everywhere is Tam4771.
Okay.
And another thing I wanted to ask you, you know, what are your worries about the writer's strike, and what, you know, what do you think is going to go on with that?
You mean the actor's strike?
The actor's strike. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was like, oh no, deja vu. you know, it's hard to say. I think everyone at this point can agree. You know, a lot of my friends are writers and actors. Nobody wants to have another strike, in that nobody wants any more time where there's no work. I mean, it was way too long. But with the writer's strike, it absolutely, you know, they had so many points they needed to figure out. And with the actor's strike, there's so many different. It's hard for me to say, because I'm a member of AFTRA and of SAG, and at the same time, I want to work. But on the other hand, you know, it's like there's so many things that need to get figured out. I just want to work, but I think everyone needs to get a fair play, I guess. I don't know if that's the right phrase. So it's hard
sure.
for me to take a stance, because I feel kind of back and forth about it. I mean, I'm almost, as hesitant to talk about the actors' writer's strike as I am to talk about the Obama-McCain debate. it's such a minefield, you know?
Yeah. What's it looking like? I mean, do you have any feel as to, you know, how close they are and possibly coming to an agreement? Or
no, actually, I don't know. I mean, much like the writer's strike, I think a lot of people got their news from sites like Deadline Hollywood Daily and other sites like that, and I think it's the same right now, because if you're not at the negotiating table, you're not really hearing what's going on unless you get an update from SAG or AFTRA themselves, you know?
Right.
It's a little bit nerve-wracking, but not much I can do, you know?
Well, I know during the writer's strike, Lisa was out there with pizza feeding the writers, so we'll make sure she gets out there with pizza feeding the actors as well.
Woo!
Thanks so much for talking to me tonight, David.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Pizza always brings a smile to everyone's face. Okay, 785, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Pinkie Pie.
Hi, Pinkie Pie.
Now, see, you'll remember that one.
Oh,
anyway, what I was wondering about is I've just noticed, you know, you can just see the rapport between you and Alex on the show. And I take it you have similar senses of humor, but did you guys ever like play practical jokes on the rest of the cast or anything like that?
Well, you know, up until that last episode, most of my shooting days were done like either late at night or on a day where no one else was there. That's actually, like I said, I keep saying running gags with my friends, but I was joked for a while that I never even got to really meet anyone for quite some time. It was just me and Alex shooting. So I never really got the chance to pull pranks. He has a great sense of humor, though. I mean, I think that's actually how we started becoming friends. He's a great guy to keep in contact with even after the show. He's just a fun, funny guy to be around, and I think we're sometimes on the same wavelength, rather.
I just picked that up, that you guys just kind of had that same. There's a real rapport between the two of you, and I just thought that was real obvious to me anyway. But,
yeah, he's a great guy. He's fun to work with, and at the same time, like office, like we make each other laugh. And I've actually, you know, gotten a chance to see him in a couple publicity events as well, himself and Holly. So it's a lot of fun.
Good. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so
much. Pleasure talking to you too.
Bye bye.
Actually, David, you bring up a good point. Do you think that chemistry is really important in acting?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's never going to happen naturally with every two people that you get together, but I think if people are good actors and really trained, sometimes you can kind of get into the head to the character. Not even really fake it, just kind of get to where you do for the character, you know? It definitely helps. I mean, there's a lot of times you need to get the people in the room to find out what it's going to be like. That's what happened with Ugly Betty. You know, I had to have a screen test with Michael Urie just for them to make sure that on camera it looks like we would actually be together, you know?
Right. Which brings me to another question. Do you think there are any similarities between you, Logan, and Cliff from Ugly Betty?
Between Logan and Cliff or between me, Logan, and Cliff?
The three of you.
Well, I don't know. It's actually hard. The way I look at Cliff on Ugly Betty is that he's just such a positive character. You know, whenever I'm playing him, I'm always so optimistic. And I think Logan is positive in his own way, but more than that, he just kind of doesn't have that censor that stops you from saying things. He just does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. So in a way, playing Cliff is freeing for me because it allows me to just kind of look at everything with rose-colored glasses. And Logan is also freeing because it's essentially like being that person who's always going to get in trouble. I'm more careful about what I do and say than either of them. But yeah, there's definitely parts of me in them. I don't know what they are.
Well, I'm really thrilled that when you played Cliff, that it wasn't a caricature of a person. You brought a real humanity to that role. So I really enjoyed your portrayal of Cliff. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, let's bring on another caller now.
Actually, real fast, can I say something real fast?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say about that, actually, that's part of the reason I was so excited when I was in the audition process for Cliff. The first episode was the audition, and I loved that he challenged, like Cliff challenges Mark. He doesn't back down. He doesn't let himself get run over. I like the humanity of it, and I like the bravery that the character showed, and that's, I think, part of the reason I fought for it as much as I did. It just seemed like such a fun, great character to play. So the fact that you recognize that is a validation. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And will we see Cliff next season? And I hear Emmy buzz.
As far as next season, the rumor is that I will be back. Of course, I don't say anything officially until anything is written down on paper,
right?
Because I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of a temp as far as these shows are concerned, where they call me and say, hey, we want you for next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he's going to be back. When Michael and I talk, you know, he always says when people ask him that Mark and Cliff are doing well, I think Silvio said in an article that they're just waiting for a storyline that's worthy of bringing Cliff back, you know?
Right. And didn't he scrub up sensationally for the wedding? And then that whole just a second with the finger. That was priceless.
You know, I'll tell you guys, I don't think I've told anyone. Well, first of all, the suit was a custom-built suit, so that was the coolest thing that I ever experienced, was wearing that suit. But those lamb chops that I eat in that scene were the most vile-tasting things in the history of man, and I ate, like, 50 of them for that shot, a one-second shot. They were so disgusting. So, as far as the Emmy, you know, ABC called a while ago to tell my, to ask me if I was okay with being submitted, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard anything since, really. You know, I'm just kind of waiting to see what the ballot. I don't expect to actually get the nomination. If you look at some of the other people nominated, I mean, you know, Victor Garber, John Cho, Stanley Tucci, different people that are amazing. But it's amazing
actors,
to be submitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. I read the list and I was like laughing every name. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding? Oh my God, are you kidding? You know, but to be on that list is in itself an honor.
Wow. More validation. Okay. Would you be okay with taking a few more calls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's bring Starla on. Starla, are you there?
Oh, hi. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Thank you for waiting so patiently.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, thank you.
I got on. Congrats on the possible Emmy nomination. I think you do have a good chance.
Aw, thank you. I wouldn't fool myself into believing that I do, but it would be nice.
Well, my question is, if we do see more of Cliff on Ugly Betty, are you going to be able to bring some of your talents in and play guitar, do more dancing?
What was that noise? You know, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to. Last season, when they were originally going to do the musical episode, a few people came up to me and were like, so you sing, right? And kind of brought up my hopes that I would be in that episode, because I would love to sing with the cast, let alone just be on. I mean, it's kind of like a dream combination of everything I've done my whole life, musical theater, TV, and film, and I could do it all at the same time. I don't know if and when they're planning on doing that episode next season, and I don't know, you know, if and when Cliff's coming back, let alone how long he's coming back for. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I hope that Cliff's around for a while, and I hope that he's around long enough to let me do a variety of things. You know, unfortunately, since the character was introduced, it kind of was a lot of, oh, they broke up, oh, they're back together, oh, they broke up, oh, they're back together. So I'd love for a few episodes to happen where you get to really explore the character and you get to see how they work together and all that. But that's really up to the writers and the producers. You know?
Well, we hope to see more of them.
Me too.
Also, on the upcoming Moonlight DVD, are you going to be doing any commentary? Do you know about that?
You know, if they asked me to, I would be 100% interested, but I haven't heard anything yet, so I don't know. And I'll knock on wood, because that would be a lot of fun, I think, sitting in a room with Alex and Gabrielle and Harry just joking.
Yeah. And final question, is there any possibility that you'll be at the San Diego Comic?
You know, I want to really, really badly. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I'm a huge TV nut, but I'm a huge fan of Lost, and much like everyone else, as soon as I saw the commercial, I registered for the Octagon recruiting thing. So I'd love to be there for many reasons, including that. I just don't know if it's going to happen. Unfortunately, in actor's life, you never really know what's going to happen more 24 hours in advance.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Stella.
I'm so excited to talk to you. Yes, thank
you. Thank
you
very much.
Thanks, David. We love
you. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Bye.
You guys are so welcoming and nice.
And she was so patient. He was waiting forever. Okay.
That's great.
Now,
I can't believe people want to do that to talk to me. That's insane.
Well, as I told you, there was so much excitement and buzz around you being on there like, Logan, yes. David, yes. All right. Let's bring on 812. 812, you're finally on the air.
Hello, David.
Thank you for waiting, 812. Thank you so much for waiting.
This is Lisa S. I was just calling to find out what your current projects are, if you have anything that's going on right now.
You know, this is a horrible time of year just because everything is either shut down for a little while or starting back up, or because of the strike, too, some projects were put on hold and moved around. I'm waiting for Ugly Betty to start up again, of course. You know, moving to New York is kind of taking a little bit longer, you know, with Moonlight not going on. A lot of my stuff is really just meeting for new projects, talking to producers, directors, and writers, and I actually do write as well, so there's a pilot that I co-created and co-wrote that I've been shopping around to a couple executive producers to see if there's interest. I thought originally I was going to be in Texas. I was up for a film role and ended up falling through, so it's just a lot of waiting, a lot of, you know, sitting around working on the craft, and seeing what the next product's going to be. Right now, the only things really going on are commercials and voiceover, which I've been doing a lot of recently.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, David, we love you, and thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you. I love you all, too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for
Bye.
Listening. Aww.
Aww.
Are you feeling the moonlight love tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's so nice, and it's also as who I am as a person, it's always hard. I'm horrible accepting compliments in person. So to know that people want to speak to me, ask questions, let alone wait a while to do it, it's humbling and it's very nice.
Well, you're just going to have to get used to it because we're all predicting that your star is just going to continue to rise. So,
if everyone around the country would knock on wood right now, I would really appreciate it. Thank
okay.
You.
Oh, I hear lots of wood being knocked on. Okay, I'm not sure if we've already spoken to 904. I just want to make sure we haven't forgotten 904, so hold on. 904?
Okay. Hello?
Who's this?
Hi, I'm Autumn.
Hi, Autumn.
I'm in Florida, and I just wanted to call and say that I think that your character was really cool and funny. And I just want to say that we loved you. I loved you in Moonlight, and my dad really liked the scene when he ran in front of the van in the last episode.
I loved that one, too. It made me feel like such a cool, cool kid.
I just wanted to just say hi. I didn't really have a question.
Well, that's fine. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
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 And Autumn waited an extremely long time, so that was really sweet.
I love that part, too. I mean, unfortunately, the characters that I play, I don't get to do a lot of action-y type stuff. So when I read that in the script, I was so stoked.
Oh. Well, it is exciting, especially when you go from thinking, oh, this might be a one-off thing, to all of a sudden you've got this recurring guest star role.
Yeah, it was actually really unexpected. You know, the first audition was maybe five lines. It was so tiny because of the nature of that role. So to see it grow and grow and grow, you know, everyone talks about how disappointed they are when the CBS decided not to renew. And you know, I'm right there with the rest of you because I really felt that this role was growing into something that might possibly be around for a little while, if not have some pretty fun things going on. I read an interview once, Alex mentioned that he was looking forward to future seasons because every little thing about his character, like this ring that he wears or this thing that he does, can be traced back to something that's happened in Nick's life. So there's a story for each of them, and I kind of felt like that was possible for Logan and the way Logan acts and maybe even everything that Logan does and all those ridiculous toys in his room. So you never really knew what was going to happen.
Right. No, it is a shame. There's such a great deal of potential there and where the storylines could have gone. And the attention to detail was surprising in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, in the season finale, man, I was watching it at home and I noticed that in that final page of names given to the DA, it was like Logan, Joseph, and Mick. And I just screamed in my house. I was like, oh, my God, there's the three of us at the end of the list. What's going to happen? And then CBS says we're no. It's like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, I must tell you as well, I'm looking at the web chat as we're talking, and there is an offer out there for you to become a polygamist or a bigamist. Amy and Ashley from Moonlight Radio, which is our sister radio station here on blogtalkradio.com, are offering both are offering to marry you. So.
Well, were I not to get arrested for that, I appreciate the offer.
Is this where I say something politically incorrect, like move to Utah? No, I didn't
nice.
Say that.
I'll let you say it, because I'll end up on TMZ if I do.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no chance of that happening to me, so I'm safe. Okay, I have one more caller, if you don't mind. This is 360. 360, you're on the air?
Yeah, hi. This is Jane in Olympia. I just wanted to say, hey, I just wanted to know, now you've had all women callers all evening. Are you? I just wanted to let you know my boys want to shout it out that they love the show, and they're in their 20s. And
oh, good.
So you have people out there, that, not just women, but also men and boys that love the show and wish it would have come back.
No, I think that's great, and actually it's funny. I do appreciate them every time I get an email on MySpace when somebody's like, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show and I just wanted to let you know that my son or my daughter appreciates it. It was nice to be able to kind of bring the generations together when you talk about the video games, but then also being able to do it on Moonlight, you know?
Well, actually, it's the other way around, too. They'd laugh at me because I'm just a freak when it comes to anything computers or video games and all of that.
Good for you. I'm the same way.
There's your character, Mom, only a little bit younger. But anyway,
good for you,
because
I'm absolutely the same way. Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, you're great.
Thank you very much.
Calling in.
Bye from Olympia.
Bye.
Oh, that was great. Oh, and I just must tell you, Ludmilla from Argentina wanted to say hi. She was on hold for a little while there, but then she had a microphone issue. And Snow Fox is saying Germany says hi too. Oh, and
wow.
Then Moonlight is Home is saying and UK.
Wow. Well, hello world. How are you, world?
Actually, I think Moonlight is in what, over 35 countries.
Is it? You know, it's so horrible that I don't even really know. You know, I didn't even know that it was in Germany until I saw on the website that it was dubbed in German, which I got a huge kick out of.
Wasn't that a hoot?
That was great.
Cuban network, so it was kind of interesting.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was interesting how they decided to present the show as well, you know, in the trailer, just to what they chose to pull out from the show and then the music that they chose to set to it, and it just gave it a kind of different feeling, so that was interesting.
Yeah, actually, I always find that funny for Ugly Betty, too, because there are so many different versions of Ugly Betty. It's almost like every country has their own Ugly Betty nowadays.
Yeah.
There's a preview on uglybettynews.com that's actually, I think the Philippines has a trailer for their own version, and it's so funny to watch because you can see the elements of the other show in it, but you just wonder who edited it, who chose that clip for that part, you know?
Actually, I was wondering if you say obviously you've been on, you're quite familiar with YouTube. Have you seen the clip about the accents with Mick and Beth?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, just if you have a moment, just listen to this.
Alex O'Loughlin plays an American vampire on Moonlight, even though he's Australian. Sophia Miles plays an American journalist on Moonlight, even though she's British.
Ouch.
Before they worked with their dialogue coaches, their scenes sounded something like this.
You were at the crime scene.
Easy with the mace, okay?
Stay back.
I'm not going to hurt you.
You're not going to hurt me? Now how do I know you're not the killer?
Well, because I'm not killing you.
Righto.
No whacking furries.
I drive a Jaguar, you know. Oh, bollocks.
Cheers, big ears.
Poppycock.
How about a couple of tinnies?
Are you on the door? Vitamin.
Oh, my goodness. That is the...
Funny.
When she goes, vitamins, at the end.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say that's funny because, I hadn't really met Alex until the show. And he is amazing at switching back and forth in his accents, and it always threw me off because he would make a joke, and like it would almost be like the setup was in an American accent, and then the punchline would be in his real accent. And it almost makes you always be like, wait, what just happened? And then when Claudia came on, Claudia Black, the cleaner in the final episode, when she came on, it was ridiculous because they had this connection where they got to talk about where they were from, and I felt lost. I felt kind of deficient for not having an accent. Between the two of them and Sophia, you know?
But you do have an accent. You just didn't know it.
I always find that amazing anytime that I hang out with anyone British or from New Zealand or what have you, and they're like, you have an accent. And I can't hear it. And I'm always amazed I'm more amazed, I think, when someone from England or Australia can do an English accent or an American accent than when somebody American can do an Australian accent. Because for me, it's a huge leap in the other direction. I don't get it. I don't even know how you start.
Well, obviously, that's what acting training is for, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I'm actually originally from New York, and up until I was probably about 9 or 10, I had the thickest Long Island accent ever. So just be happy I don't sound like that anymore.
Well, yeah, it might be difficult to get work. Maybe on, like, the Sopranos or something, I don't know.
Yeah, probably. We'll see.
But there does seem to be, like, a standard generic American accent that is required for the majority of roles, right?
Yeah, I think so. And there's so many different independent projects and features out there nowadays that there's a little bit of everything, and people ask me all the time to do different accents for auditions and interviews and what have you. But I don't know if I don't understand how somebody from Australia can come here and approach doing not something stereotypical like a Southern or New York or Chicago or what have you, but just like, oh, okay, you do a, let's say, Southern California accent. I don't even know what that sounds like, really. I live here.
Okay, I've got two more callers on the line, and then we can wrap this up if you like.
Sure, I'd love to hear any questions you have too, RJ, because I know you set this all up. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, 562, you're on the air.
I already talked. That's Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. Wait, we have one caller. Ozzy's TW.
Yes, hi.
If you can just turn your volume down a little bit.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that way we're not getting the echo.
Okay, all right. Well, it's good to talk with you.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that? I couldn't understand.
I'm sorry, is there a problem with my sound?
No, we can.
It's just a little bit muffled.
Yeah, a little distant, that's all.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to ask if I'm sorry I came on a little late, so I'm not sure if the question's been asked already, but what's your favorite episode of Moonlight was?
No, it hasn't been asked yet. I know it's just a cop out, but I would have to say the season finale, Sonata, just because. I had met Jason Doering many times on set. I'd spoken to Jacob Vargas at a lot of table reads, but it was the first time I really got to interact with everybody. And even though it was a really long day of shooting, a horrifically long day of shooting, it was a lot of fun, and I felt like I kind of got to connect to everybody for the first time. And I'm a huge fan of Stargate. So meeting Claudia Black, you know, getting to sit down with her at lunch, what have you, I think the experience of that was better than I could have expected.
Okay. What time do you actually start shooting then? And I guess a lot of it was actually at night.
You know, it's really back and forth. It depends on the scene. Because of the nature of the show, yeah, most of their things are at night unless they're inside. It's hard to say. As an actor, sometimes you'll shoot for 3 hours. Sometimes we actually shot that final day, that whole van scene and that whole, heist scene probably took about 16 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So, I think I was there from 6 p.m. on Saturday night No, 6 p.m. on Friday night until 10 in the morning on Saturday, something like that.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
It's a long day.
Extra time with Starbucks then.
Yeah, I had a lot of coffee that day, trust me. I'm just happy that people like the episode because, truthfully, the scene where I'm typing and I say, oh, that's very helpful, thanks, on my close-up, that was like hour 15 and a half, and I was so scared that the fans would look at it and be like, why is Logan so tired? So I'm glad no one noticed.
Thanks
well,
so
thank
much
you very
for
much
calling.
For speaking with me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Actually, I was just thinking of that scene, and there was no hint that you were tired. What was really cool was when you went, Lando Calrissian! It was just, oh, my goodness. I was having a good giggle when you did that.
Thank you. Me too. And actually, the director of that episode was a huge fan of Star Wars as well. So he was definitely sure to make sure that ended up in the final cut. You know, and Leroy Jenkins as well.
The scene wouldn't be the same without it. It was perfection. So I certainly enjoyed that. Actually, it's interesting as well that you mentioned Jason Doring and Claudia Black in the same sentence because they're two actors that they have. On screen, at least, they have such a commanding presence, and they really fill the space. And I was wondering, obviously, you didn't get a huge opportunity, a great deal of time to work with them, but what is that like when you work with an actor like that who is so generous with what they're doing? You know, are you able to feed off that, or feed's not the right word?
Oh, absolutely.
Word,
no, absolutely. I've been really, really fortunate in the work that I've done with the people I've gotten to work with. You know, you hear horror stories all the time about actors or sets or whatever, but on Ugly Betty, working with Michael Urie and Becky Newton, and they're just so much fun to play around with on camera that you just end up with a lot of stuff to work with. And even on Betty, even the people you don't meet, like America and Chris, you know, who's become a really a good friend. Everyone is so great to talk to that you respect them more. And on Moonlight, you know, I had gotten to know Alex and Sophia a little bit because we didn't have too much together, but I got to know Alex so well, I kind of just thought that was the best I was going to be able to do. And then when I really got to work with Jacob and Jason and Claudia, it was almost like a playground, and I hate to admit it because it makes it sound like I'm spoiled because that's my job, but it's so much fun to work with them. Jason's just got a really great heart. He's a really nice guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to and talk about acting and the craft and what have you. And Claudia is just a lot of fun. We sat around in our Tweed adjoining trailers, like right next to each other, and we sat around for hours when we were waiting for the shot to get set up, just joking around and talking about life and the world, and I had a blast. I mean, she's such a sweetheart. So
you've actually been pretty fortunate so far in the actors not just the actors, but, you know, directors, writers, and so on that you've had the opportunity to work with.
Yeah, it's crazy. Even the reading that I did, you know, I've loved all the Christopher Guest movies, and, you know, I got to work with Fred Willard and Vicki Lewis and Ina Spinoza, and, you know, I haven't really watched a lot of Brothers and Sisters, but Luke McFarlane as well, you know, and then I saw Wally with Fred in it, and of course was amazed. I was like, oh my God, I just was hanging out with him last week.
Wow. Surreal.
Yeah, I consider myself definitely blessed, and, you know, I would say my biggest fear is probably that something happens where I don't get to continue on the path, because it's just been, it's been amazing the whole time, but I have to say the past year and a half, 2 years, has been pretty amazingly abundant, if you will.
And do you think your experience that you've actually had, do you think, was it what you thought it was going to be? Was it better or?
In general, my career, or you mean Moonlight?
In general.
I definitely think choking, I'm just going to glass of water.
I'm sorry.
Remember that time I died during the interview? Hold on.
Oh, gosh, no, we don't want to make any the headline like that.
Someone
go say
you know, oh, wow, 3,000 people show up at my apartment. You know, it's been more than I could have ever expected, really. I mean, even from, you know, you know, I've done a bunch before that, but let's say from Ugly Betty, I thought that no one would really register the character. I thought that it would just kind of come and go. And the first reactions, the day that it aired, I mean, I had to make a MySpace for me as an actor, which I never thought I would have to do for years, because so many people were wanting to contact me because of the role. And that alone made me feel like, okay, maybe I'm doing something right here. And the fact that I get to do something that I enjoy and find challenging, and at the same time, you know, get paid for it and meet these amazing people, sometimes I have to pinch myself just to make sure that it's actually happening. You know, it's an amazing experience.
Well, we are so glad that you did choose this path, and we appreciate the fact that you've been so generous with your time tonight. You spent an hour with us, and we thank you for that.
Well, thank you for having me, Vampire Solidarity, rah, 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 all that jazz.
And all that. would you be willing to join us again sometime?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what else that you're up to. So thanks again. Oh, everyone's gone, woohoo! Fantastic.
Thank
so,
you, everybody out there. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and listening and caring. I couldn't ask for more. Thanks.
Thank you so much, David Blue. You have a great night.